Thanks for tuning in to Empty Minds Radio. This is Tom, your host. And wow, if this sounds different to you, that's because tonight is going to be completely different. Normally, at this time, we'd be presenting you with episode 397, but it's not going to be 397 tonight. And I will get to why in just a moment or two, but we have some ground to cover before then. Every month, we have a theme, and every week of that theme, there is a picture and a set of words to go along with that theme. Tonight, of course, is no different. Our theme tonight is strange World War II propaganda posters. And the poster for tonight, the picture for tonight is Don't Fall for Enemy Propaganda. Now, this is a poster that was designed by a man named John George Jack Betts. Went by Jack Betts. He was born in New York in 1904, and according to his daughter at one point, some reader of this one website I was on, talked to his daughter, and she said he died in the late 50s. And Jack was a Boy Scout when he was a kid. Jack drew for Boy Scout magazines, illustrations, which even at an early age, you could tell he was talented. And then he got into advertising. He did advertisements in magazines for things like Bengay, Nestle Cocoa Powder, etc. Then he got into those great little ads and cartoons in the back of comic books. And at some point along the way, despite having never served in the military that I could find anyway, in 1943, he created this poster. It's actually called The Nature of the Enemy. It's not called Don't Fall for Enemy Propaganda. That's actually the line or the slogan of the poster. And it features a sort of British-looking man. Maybe he's American. I don't know. He's in a bowler hat, and he's got a green-toned Hirohito screaming at him in one ear and a green-toned Hitler screaming at him in the other ear, and it says, "Don't fall for enemy propaganda against our government, against our allies, against Catholics, Jews, or Protestants. Remember, Hitler and the Japs are trying to get us fighting among ourselves." That kind of sounds familiar with what our own government is doing right now, sadly. Anyway, this poster by Jack Betts came out in, like I said, 1943, and it's a great illustration by this artist. The words to the theme are from the fifth track off the 1985 album Spreading the Disease by the band Anthrax. The track is called The Enemy, and when I came across these words, they not only fit this theme very well, they fit this poster to a T. So that is your theme for the week of strange World War II propaganda posters. And also want to let you know, typically every week, if you're an old listener, you know this. If you're a new listener, maybe you don't. But every week we correct. We have a segment called Fucking Corrections, and we correct any mistakes or misses or things we didn't know, any information we didn't know about the previous show, we correct on the next show. So you would suspect that you're going to get the answers to any problems that happened on episode 396 tonight. But no, that is not true. We are skipping the corrections this week. They will be, however, corrected on episode 397. So if you're waiting to spread the information that you learned from EMR episode 396, just wait one more week. They'll be there on 397, right where they should be. Because this, as I said before, is not episode 397. This, dear friends, is episode 1. It has never been aired or posted anywhere. This is the very first episode of EMR with your hosts, Tom and Myron, and it was recorded on November 6th or 7th, something like that, of 2010. So it's 8 years old, the very first episode of EMR. We hope you enjoy it. We'll see you for a new episode next week. Thanks again for listening, and without further ado, episode 1.
And now, from an office that used to be a bedroom and is temporarily a recording studio, comes an all-out assault on stupidity and bullshit.
Welcome to Empty Minds. My name is Tom.
I'm Myron.
When we were discussing kind of doing the show, we were talking about some sort of a slogan or, you know, some sort of an upfront something that kind of encapsulates the show. We didn't come up with it. No. I just realized that as we're here talking about it, that we never actually did that.
You know, and that kind of tends to be the issue is we usually wind up going and going and we get a great idea. We run with it. We go, okay, something always gets thrown out the window and left behind in the dust. This has happened.
Almost all of it gets thrown out the window. Here's the thing. We sat down and we structured this thing, and we've come up with all these ideas and all these segments we're going to do, but you know what? 90% of this is going to be in the trash by morning. Yeah, it's not going to make it into the show. But
which means basically what's going to happen is by the time someone gets this, it's going to be us saying hello and, all goodbye.
Exactly. Now, one of the things I know that's been kind of irking you, and it's on my nerves all the time too, is this Christmas is earlier and earlier every year. But before we get into that whole Christmas thing, let's bounce back to Halloween. There's a little bit of a funny incident. So every Halloween rolls up on me, and I don't have a costume, and the girlfriend doesn't have a costume, and we don't know what we're going to do, where we're going to go, and everything's last minute. This year was no different. Once again, what are you going as? Going as myself. Invited to some party. Wasn't sure if I was going to go to it. Glad I went. Big house. I mean, this guy had this huge classic 1920s mansion. Okay. And as we rolled up to the thing, there's four of us, we thought, is there really a party going on there? I mean, the house looked vacated. There was nobody, no sign of a party. There were a few lights in the windows, a couple people, but it didn't seem like it was much. And there was supposedly going to be 300-400 people at this event. Anyway, it was what I deemed the perfect party. Because we got in there, indeed. There were 300 or 400 people there. And from the front yard, you could not even tell there was a party going on. So it was absolutely fantastic. Tons of great costumes, except for, again, me. And I was invited to this event by a friend of my brother's. So he was there, and my brother and my brother's wife were there. And the friend, I won't get into his name, he could be on, he should be on this show. He is fantastic. We'll bring him in one of these days. Okay. I'm sure I can talk him into it.
Okay.
He loves to gab. But anyway, he was dressed as a Catholic priest. And for the life of me, I mean, he just decided he was going to go as a priest. He wasn't doing the little boy thing or the whole Catholic priest as the church has been in the news. Okay. He was just going as a priest.
So it was just non-denominational, just a
non-denominational,
priest.
But all night long, people are hitting him with the little boy jokes or the choir boy jokes or, hey, so where's my son?
Okay, so he became...
He became that, but he was getting upset with it. Like, he was like, enough. At one point, he punched me for saying, hey, where did my kid go? And then that's him. Now, there's my brother is dressed as one of the Chilean miners that was rescued, right? So it occurs to me the reason they're such good friends is one of them is a Catholic priest and one is a miner.
Did you really have to go...
I went there. So anyway, that was a fantastic party. But no sooner did we wake up the next morning, the next afternoon from that event, that I realized, bam, Christmas stuff is in the stores. I don't know. You take this one for a second.
I happen to work at a nationwide store. I won't give the name.
But if you're a good shot, you could hit this place.
Well, the one I work at is next to the airport. And I swear to God, I shit you not, they at the top of the store have the logo. I'm praying it's going to be some fucking Japanese pilot. He's going to look and he's going to yell, Bonsai! And just fucking dive that goddamn plane right into it.
They have the logo on the roof so air traffic can see it.
That's right. So when you're looking down, you know what's there. I guarantee you that was fucking
the plan. The plane isn't going
to
stop.
I would love to see some psychotic Japanese guy have a flashback to like maybe family genes and something in the blood. All of a sudden it starts boiling up. He gets mad. And all of a sudden the other pilot's like, what do you do? Maybe just fucking punches him in the goddamn eye and just takes the plane into a straight nosedive.
Now, it's only been a decade since 9/11. Do we really want foreigners crashing planes into our buildings, Byron? Talk to me a little bit.
It depends
bit about
on
this.
The building. I got to say, yes, if you're talking major fucking corporation, please. Yeah,
that's right. America is not over it yet.
No, and this is the thing.
I don't know why.
I shit you not. A week before Halloween, they were starting to take down the Halloween displays and putting up on the back seasonal wall Christmas lights.
But you know what that means for the average consumer? It means bagged candy at 40% off.
One holiday at a fucking time. It's gotten that bad that you can't even enjoy one holiday before you have the next two. I say we just say fucking skip everything. Why are we not celebrating Easter right now?
Well, that's because Christmas is the biggest seller. Here's the deal. And I know you're not personally a big Christmas guy. I'm into Christmas. I grew up liking the holiday, and I put up the tree and the whole thing.
It's the same thing. Yeah, I'm into the holiday. I'm into Christmas. I love the concept of it. It's the fucking sensationalism of it. It's that
And to a degree, I even like that because some of the things I'm going to do with Christmas, I do like to Christmas shop, all right? And to promote, in 50 years, we'll all be chicks. Yes. Yeah, that's true. I'm already one, I think. But I do love to shop. Shoot me. But the thing is, all right, commercialism, fine, I get it. And I get that the reason Black Friday is Black Friday is because it's the first profit most of these retailers see in the course of an average year. But you know what? For me, that is when it starts. You can put up your decorations that Tuesday or Wednesday. No, you put up your decoration.
That weekend.
No. You got to put up your decorations that Wednesday. You put up your decorations on Wednesday. You give your employees Thursday off because it's Thanksgiving. And then Friday, you open your decorations. They're hung. That's fine. That week, you can put up your decorations and your store's ready for Black Friday. And the same goes for Christmas music. There's already been Christmas music on the radio. No, here's the rules on Christmas music, and I'm a huge Christmas music lover, whether it's the traditional Christmas music or the rock and roll stuff. I love the Brian Setzer stuff.
George Michael.
That's not a Christmas song. That's never been a fucking Christmas song.
I know.
It's got the word Christmas in it. That does not make it a Christmas song. But here's the thing. Christmas music's the same thing. Christmas music can start on Black Friday, and it can go 1 week into January. That is it. When the Christmas tree comes down on January 6th, that's when the Christmas music stops. Done. There's rules for this kind of thing. America is no longer abiding by these rules.
Did you light
your cigar already?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
yes, I did.
I'm going to light one.
Go for it. Black Friday. Okay, you want to set it up. You want to set things up. Go to Home Depot. Hire about 20 Mexicans. Bring them to your store. Show them a design. Set it up. That's Thanksgiving. Pay them well. So when you open on Black Friday, it's set up.
I'm going to disagree a little bit.
Well, you just said your point. I got it. You did. I know.
They need to set it up, and it's not going to be done on Thanksgiving.
Hire like about 20 Mexicans.
Mexicans to celebrate Thanksgiving too. Why? Because it's food and 30 family members in one house.
So every day is Thanksgiving for Mexicans.
Wait a second. No. That doesn't mean they don't want to pretend it's their own special day.
They may have been fighting the Native Americans, Indians here before we got here.
By the way, to interject additional to this bullshit, so Christmas is lights on houses, trees, the decorations. I love it. And what I really love about it is it's one time of year. But now, the retailers, there has to be lights for Easter, there has to be yard decorations for Halloween, there has to be witches and crap all over your house for everything. I understand decorating inside for a party, but this exterior thing, that's Christmas. Now, here's what I saw yesterday. An inflatable light-up lawn turkey.
Yeah.
So now Thanksgiving has outdoor decorating. Well, you working at the store probably have seen this. This was a first for me.
Okay.
Outdoor, light-up, inflatable, and with these blowers.
Did you just give a promotional shout-out to the store that I just work at?
Did I say the name of it?
Yes, you did. You're going to have to delete that out.
I said the name of the store?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Did I really?
Yes, you did.
Delete that from your minds. It may actually make it into the thing. Anyway, the lawn turkey. Okay. And then that gets me back into the whole Christmas thing in general, which is I'm all for the decorations. But if you're going to spend time decorating the outside of your house, and it takes a while. I used to do this on my parents' house. Yeah. I have never yet done it on my own house. But anyway. Here's the deal. It takes a while. But there's so many bad ones out there. And decorating the outside of your house poorly takes almost as much time as it does just to do it right.
Nicely.
Go get some clips, get yourself a hammer, get a fucking stapler and staple the shit on to the soffit. Make the light bulbs all straight. If they're the bigger lights, all in the same direction. Just do it nice. And this inflatable crap with these blower motors and they're sitting out in the yard. And the mix and match, too, is horrible. Jesus is on the roof, but Santa's in the manger. No. Figure it out. You're religious.
Right.
You're not religious. Do one or the other. You know what I prefer? There was a house here. We're doing this show, by the way, from the Midwest, from Minneapolis, St. Paul. And there was a house I discovered out in one of the suburbs of Minneapolis a couple years ago. And now it took me a while to again figure out where that house was. But they no longer decorate it for Christmas, which is a bummer because I like to go and tour the lights and see the different lights that are good displays.
The good ones are well worth going to see.
All right, this house, completely original. There were no commercialized things in this yard. There were none of the plastic figurines, none of the blower inflatable figurines, no Jesus, no Santa, nothing.
here's what the Christmas decoration was and was beautiful. Okay, perfect lights lining every single window, the roof line, chimney. I think the roof itself was outlined in lights. The garage door was a corner lot, which made it really cool. And along the sidewalk on the one side and the sidewalk on the other side, so basically the half of the perimeter of the yard, were old-fashioned gas-looking street lamps. There were probably six across one way and six down the other way. And they were, you know, they were not officially there. They just set them up for Christmas. They had them, they had converted them and mounted them into stands. And they sat like a fence around the yard. And every other one of those was lit red, green, red, green. In between them was draped garland that was lit perfectly.
Nice.
And the entire yard was filled with miniature 2 or 3 foot tall Christmas trees, all with lights on them. It was like a Christmas tree farm lit up with lights in the house and this perimeter of these gas lamps, and it was gorgeous. I mean, it was like nothing I'd ever seen. It was magical, and
I loved
it. It
was non-commercial.
Non-commercial. And that
I like that. But here's the thing. I don't mind, like, you throw, like the Nutcracker Suite. You know, I'll throw a couple of the Army guys in there. Okay.
I didn't even mind some of that. No, I don't mind it either.
But, you know, and to be honest, I mean, I'm going to lie. I'm kind of going to differ with you on this. I got to say, they're in Richfield.
Richfield, suburb of Minneapolis.
There's
my hometown.
Where you're from. My daughter went to high school at. The only thing they had in the yard, not last week, the day before, just the inflatable Grinch. I thought that was fucking great. It looked cool. That was all they had.
Not a fan of the inflatables in general. But yeah, if they can keep it to one thing or the other, it's better. Well, here's the problem with these inflatables, though. So they come with a little blower motor, and you turn them on, and it blows up this giant Santa Claus, and then lights shoot up his ass, and that's how it works. Half of those are, when the wind comes up, blown over, and they're laying on their side for half the season.
Yeah.
The other half of them, they forgot to switch on, so it's some deflated, melting Santa Claus on the side of a tree hanging from a branch.
Frosty's
dead. Yeah, just not a fan, but I'm more of a fan. What really, really gets me is your classic, your kind of your 60s, 70s Christmas look. Your old Americana Christmas, I love that. Same thing with New Year's. I still love those shitty cardboard hats with the stapled top on them and a little chin strap and the crappy sparkle crap splattered on them. Or old decorations. I just love old decorations. I mean, this shit's before my time even, and I just love it. It's so cool. So anyway, we're going to get on to a little section here we like to call Mentaltainment. This is our entertainment section.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Myron, you had said something you wanted to bring up.
It's a new show that AMC has. You know I'm a zombie fan, Walking Dead. Check it out. If you haven't seen it, watch it. Try to go online, find the first show, catch it. It is, I'm the zombie fan, you know, my script and everything like that. It's great. The way they kind of say, unfortunately, again, it's as if it happened today. Kind of taken from almost 28 days later. A guy wakes up in the hospital, and it's just fucking apocalyptic.
You know, I haven't seen the show. Does look interesting. This is like a new golden age of television right now. There are so many high quality shows on there that when I see people watching these pieces of shit, horrible, crappy sitcoms, I look at them and I'm like, what are you talking about?
There are some good sitcoms out there. I know it's something you're a fan of. I mean, I got out the Walking Dead. Check it out.
I was going to say that I had seen commercials for it, but then I realized that'd be an outright lie because I don't fucking watch commercials, except that there is one commercial that I'd like to do for you now, and that is the Jeremiah Weed. Have you had the Jeremiah Weed?
I have not had it. I heard you had it about a week ago.
I did. I was at a friend's wedding reception a couple weeks ago. This was a fantastic wedding reception, by the way. They had a ton of homemade beers and stuff there, but they had a full bar.
Yep.
And now here in this area, it's different elsewhere, I'm sure. So far, I've had a hard time finding Jeremiah Weed at bars. And it's a newer product, takes a while for it to filter into all the places.
Especially
here. I hate to say that, but that's still true. We try to be Cosmo up here, but we're not.
No, a lot of it's still backwards, hillbilly moonshine shit.
Right. So here I am, though, at a wedding reception of all places. There's all kinds of high end bars I go to. Don't have it. Go here, Jeremiah Weed. Yeah, we got it. And I didn't specify. Now, there's three kinds of Jeremiah Weed. There's Jeremiah Weed Bourbon. There's Jeremiah Weed Cherry Mash Bourbon. There's Jeremiah Weed Sweet Tea Vodka. All right. Okay. Yeah. Now, I didn't know that the sweet tea was vodka, but I it didn't matter. I just said, you have Jeremiah Weed? Yeah. I said, make me a Jeremiah Weed something.
Okay.
And sour or something. They did, and they gave it to me. And I'll tell you what, to be honest, we're advertising here, but it was horrible. But here's why it was horrible. was horrible because it was sweet tea vodka. A, I was expecting whiskey. B, I didn't know it was sweet tea. I don't like tea.
Yeah.
I don't like the flavor of tea in anything. I can sniff it out from a mile away. You know, if you hate the taste or smell of something, you can smell it or taste it better than anyone else.
Exactly.
So I didn't like it. But I did give the sweet tea vodka sour to my girlfriend, and she's a tea drinker, and she thought it was a phenomenal beverage. Okay. So that's what I can say about it. Now, I'm looking for the cherry mash because that really sounds like it's more up my alley. And love to check it out. So here we are advertising something that we really don't have a whole lot to say about. But Jeremiah Weed, everybody, go and check it out,
there
please.
You go.
So anyway, back to you were saying something about TV shows.
It's just kind of you have things you like. We kind of differ on certain things where I cannot fucking stand reality TV. Unfortunately, and let's face it, it was a quick, easy fix when the writer's strike went on.
Just going to mention that. Yep. Let's be clear to everybody who isn't aware.
Exactly.
The only reason all of this TV shit exists is because a few years ago, I believe the second time in a decade, the writers went on strike, and I believe rightfully so. As a writer, I'm in support of them.
100% of the other.
But unfortunately, the aftermath of them going on strike to get what they deserved out of their shows and movies they were writing was that TV stations needed filler.
Yep.
A couple nasty things happened this last time around, especially, is A, I don't know what the percentage is, to be honest with you, but a very large percentage of television across the board, whether it's cable networks or whatever, became reality-based shows, most of which, Myron thinks all of them, I say most of which completely suck. They're filler material. They didn't require writers, so they were easy to get, and they're cheap to produce, and because of that factor, perfect for a network. And people love this crap, bam, we'll put it on. Here's the other thing that happened, though. It's a side note. We can get back to reality TV.
Okay.
The other thing that happened for CBS is they took one of the most phenomenal shows ever, I would say, Dexter.
Yes.
And because CBS owns Showtime, they decided what they'd do with one of their open slots that they needed to fill during the writer's strike was they would put Dexter cut down, chopped down to fit commercial TV censorship standards and commercial standards.
Exactly.
So they basically diced the hell out of a fantastic show and put it on CBS for a season. The problem with it is that it got some people used to liking Dexter as they were showing it there, which is not the right way to show that show.
No,
and then it got a lot of people looking at it going, eh. It got me just kind of pissed off. Now, Dexter's phenomenal.
It's a great fucking show.
One of the best. And CBS kind of, you know, whatever. But anyway, reality TV, go ahead.
No, it opened that fucking venue for douchebags everywhere. And we'll go into it another time. We've got our, you know, douchebag dumb and how, you know, how you signify how you know you're a douchebag. And the worst thing is now it gives people who didn't know they were douchebags in the first place to accept now that they are. They made it acceptable to be a douche. That's the problem. And that's what this.
What show in specific would you say?
You're talking. Let's face it. We're going to call him out. The situation. The biggest fucking douchebag on TV.
He is a douchebag, and
so everybody. And now I know you kind of question because you say, you know, I don't like reality TV. You kind of commented the other day how, well, you don't watch it. No, it's not that I don't watch it. I don't follow it. You can turn on at any point in Jersey Shore, and you can see the douchebags on TV.
Well, you talked about the situation. Let me bring up one. This is I'm not going to steal this. I'm going to say exactly where it came from. I know you're a 50-50 Bill Maher fan. Yeah. Once in a while you like it, once in a while you disagree.
Maher
had a great one.
I respect someone who's got a difference in opinion, but it's the type of thing where Bill Maher is great. I do admit I will watch him. Never will go stay away from the bias down there, but yeah.
Maher the other night, during New Rules, he has a segment of the show called New Rules.
Yep.
Maher had a new rule about the situation the other night, because apparently the same day that Adam Carolla's book was coming out, in 50 years we'll all be chicks.
Okay.
Check it out, by the way. Mike, the Situation, Sorrentino had a book come out. Now, for the life of me, I can't remember what it was called, but that's irrelevant.
Congratulations.
Yeah, the cover of the book is what? Nothing more than him lifting up his shirt to show his great body again. That's a true sign of douchebaggery right there.
Thank you.
But here was Maher's new rule. You cannot write a book if your entire fan base cannot read.
Fucking
I thought
right.
that pretty much summed up the Situation's book. Reality TV, you and I do differ. There are a couple shows that I do like. Some of them I like, and it's almost a guilty pleasure because I know they're sort of a piece of shit, but there's differences. I think you see it all as kind of black and white. I see a gray area in reality TV. There's some that I watch that I just think are kind of horseshit. American Idol, touch and go. I think Seacrest, a lot of people have their opinions on Seacrest, but I think he is actually phenomenal at what he does. As a host of a show, he's Dick Clark-esque. I mean, he's got that thing down, and I think he's a great show.
Which is what he's
a host. Now, where it's going to go from here with Steven Tyler and who is it? Jennifer Lopez.
I am not paying attention. When it starts up, I'll tune in.
Okay, Steven Tyler and Lopez are the replacements for Simon Cowell. It took two replacements for Simon Cowell, I guess.
Which may be interesting now that he's out.
Well, Simon was the best thing about the show, though. He actually knew what he was talking about, and usually I agreed with him. In a while, I thought he was off the cuff.
This is my problem. Is
I'm surprised you didn't like him because he's kind of an asshole of reality the way you like to be.
Not necessarily, but there's a difference between an asshole of reality and just what you have is a setup for people who really aren't all that talented to come in, and you allow them to step in and make a complete fucking ass of themselves. These are people who don't necessarily know they're not talented because they've been lied to their entire life, so you're going to get them in there when you tear them to fucking shreds. These are people who their whole life have been built up. The thing is,
that is the beginning of the show, though. Well, that's in the beginning of each season. Exactly, that's not where it ends up.
And I know where it goes. And it's, I guess, and then let me get into that because I'll get into the rest of the show as well. It's this whole fucking build. And don't get me wrong, there are some really fucking talented people. And I will say, and I know that Kelly Clarkson, I'm not a total fan of that genre music, but, you know, she did.
Girl can sing.
The one, she's talented. She can sing. But she has got that, I think it's Since You've Been Gone, whatever. She did that on some live MTV show. We started fucking ranting. And I hope she was as AT because I'd have fucking jumped her right there. And
whoa!
She was just fucking...
Yeah, she's
just
a cutie.
She's kind of... Okay, she's
what happened to Catherine McPhee, speaking of
because she kind of plumped up a little bit. But even then, she still had that cute girl thing in her. You can still see that...
She's cute.
She is. But in that video, that did it for me. I could tolerate her music. And unlike the Britney Spears shit, where the only way I can watch it is if the volume's down. But the rest of the show on that is... To be honest, I could really fucking care less about a music contest. I'm not going to tune in to see everybody kissing each other's ass.
Well, here's why I'm not going to do Idol anymore. I don't mind it, and I don't think they kiss ass. I think there's a genuine thing that happens when you get a bunch of contestants together.
I mean, the contestants are, they're all hugging in this.
I was just about to say on that. Yes, they're competing against each other, but they're not competing against each other like they entered a random, you know, meat raffle or something. Yeah. They're competing against each other in a sense where they actually are together every day, all day, for a long periods of time on end. They're sharing hotel rooms together or rooms in this rented, and they are becoming friends.
I'm not saying reality. I'm saying in general. Fuck that. No, if it's a contest, put these guys apart. Get a little, you know,
doesn't make good TV though. The camaraderie makes for good TV.
Which is
part of the fake thing, which is why reality TV is an oxymoron. I don't like the name reality TV. I like a couple of shows. Here's what I like. I've liked American Idol in the past. I did skip one whole season of it. I don't know that I'm going to be back for any more because, A, I actually did like Simon Cowell. Okay. I thought he was good. Okay. Steven Tyler, I might watch it once just to see. Maybe Steven Tyler took the job because he's sick of falling off the stage. I don't know. The guy's broken his hip, four times this year or something? He keeps falling off stage. You know, come on, dude. You're at least 10 years younger than Mick Jagger, and he's still doing it. What's your excuse? I just watched Rush. Rush played the Minnesota State Fair this year. Those guys are in their early 60s. They're still rocking around like they're kids. Yeah. You know, come on, Steven. Right. What's the deal? What's the deal, dude? You know, are you weighted down by all those scarves? I don't know. He's got a lot of scarves on. Maybe the scarves are wiping him. Maybe he's tripping on scarves or hanging down to his feet. I don't know. Anyway, so I probably won't watch that show anymore. But here's the main reason I won't watch it anymore. It's 2-4 hours a week. Yeah. It's like 4 hours of my time a week.
It's like every fucking day. It's not American Idol contest, it's a recap.
Yeah.
Fuck that. You know, a recap should be, okay, the next morning on the news, this person won, this person got kicked off, they're going to do it. Okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. You can do a recap at the beginning of the next show, put the things on there. I mean, it's like...
Or how about the whole?
How
about the whole show is like the votes come in instantaneously. Like how many of our votes we get in the next half hour are the votes, and they kick them off on that same show. Like, well, Bob, you were just on. You just sang. We thought it was okay. America thought it sucked. Goodbye.
Bye.
You're out of here. I think that would actually be a lot more fun. It would take up less of my time.
You have to find ways to drag it on and on.
Now let's go over to Dancing with the Stars. I'm actually a fan of this show. I do think it's well done, and I actually think it's amazing. Some of us call it the unicycle show, and others get that, others don't. But there's good humor. They have Jerry Rice and whatever Which doing the dance center. The girl comes on. They got all kinds of fun stuff going on. I've been a fan of the show pretty much since I don't think I saw season one. But I am amazed that they can take people with literally no dancing talent
and teach them how to dance.
And teach them some pretty strategic moves. And I questioned it. And there's a couple of ballroom dancers that are very well, very good ballroom dancers here locally that I talked to that I met sometime earlier this year. And I was asking them about Dancing with the Stars. I said, you know, what is it that these stars are doing? I mean, if you were new and you were taking a standard ballroom dancing lesson, there's stuff that these celebrities, that they're making these celebrities do or learn that you wouldn't learn. And I don't remember all the details, but she told me about levels of ballroom dancing. And she said level one, where you'd be learning where all those stars are at, and even well beyond when the show is over for the season, where they would still be at, is level one. And it's very, very basic moves. And she said some of the stuff they're teaching them is level five stuff because it's got to look better for TV. It's got to look more exciting. Exactly. Some of the level one stuff isn't all that fun. Yeah. So she was learning to crawl before you walk. Right. So she was fairly impressed, too, that they're learning level one and then instantly mixing in level four and five stuff into this. And doing these complex dances, it's pretty insane.
This is why, I mean, keep in mind, when I talk about reality TV being shit, there are different levels of shit. I mean, it's not like everything is just overall shit, never to be watched. There's certain things that, like I said, I get where reality TV is, and because, I mean, dancing is something people like to do. It's fun. People who think they can sing go out there and do that. I mean, they bring in people who maybe can't dance, but at least they train you. Here, they're not even taking people who can't sing and train them into something. It's bringing these people in the beginning, and they completely... It's for humiliation and humor.
Well, there's three categories on American Idol. And I would say American Idol was a little different season one, just because nobody was acclimated to the whole idea of it or how it was going to go down. But there's three... I say there's three categories. There's people that can sing and just need to hone it and get it down. Exactly. And they do have people training them and teaching them and helping out on that show to get them better.
Exactly.
That's level one.
We'll bring you in. We'll see what you can do. Right. Maybe a little training behind the scenes that you don't see.
Level two is who you mentioned, which are people that have been told by family or friends that you can sing.
Or parents who've thrusted their kids in the limelight because they want that type of thing.
And these people have no talent, and it's horrible. And they're literally getting a slap in the face of reality. But you know what they're going to do? They're going to bitch. They're going to bitch at Simon. They're going to be bitching at everyone. And then they're going to be like, I'm not going to quit singing. Yeah. Well, fine. That's great. If you like singing, go ahead and sing. But you're never going to be, if that's what you're going for your life's goal, you're never going to be that. So there's that. That's level two. But level three, especially after season one, became people who wanted 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on with a dumb costume, and I know I can't sing, and I'm just going to be on TV, and everyone's going to laugh at it, and I'm going to be famous for the rest of my life based on that or something. And then you've got your William Hungs, who actually got a recording contract, put out a couple of absolutely horrible things. I believe his Christmas album, Back to the Christmas Thing, is called Hung for the Holidays. Hey, there's nothing like hearing this fucking engineer from Northern California sing Silver Bell, Silver Bell.
I'm not saying you're not going to get any comedic value out of it. You know, that's your thing. But it's just this setup for complete humiliation and fail, where people are walking out of their crime because it got so ripped. It's not me. I don't get it. And, you know, I can rip into fucking people. We talk about stupidity. But there's a difference between having that individual right there and being that cruel. There's a time and a place for everything. That's not the time and the place. That's just my old thing.
John and Kate plus eight.
Oh, fuck that shit.
or what is it? Kate plus eight now. John had the brains to leave.
Yeah, John had the brains to find someone who is... I find someone other than this...
Kate's a fucking bitch.
Oh, she's a cunt.
She's absolutely...
I'm going to go on. She is a fucking cunt. And
You can say cunt on the air, but you can't use the term C-word. That's completely illegal on the air.
Okay.
Yeah, so don't ever use C-word.
I will never say.
Just stick to the original.
Well, we could go into our usual thing, C-Hunt.
Oh, C-Hunt, yeah. Great show, C-Hunt.
Great show, C-Hunt. Yeah, and she should have been the star of that.
She should have been. She's an absolute bitch. And she, of course, tied into Dancing with the Stars for a season, where she absolutely drove her partner, Tony D'Avalone, to the point of walking off the show.
Yeah.
Granted, some of that's reality show drama. They're hyping it up because even that stuff's on the camera. Yeah. You're never alone. The camera's not in your face when you're on a reality show. But you could tell he genuinely hated working with her. Yeah. He was miserable every day that she was on that show, and he had to teach her how to dance.
Well, this is what I talk about with reality TV and how it gives douchebags their venue. She is a douchebaguette. We talked about the
A baguette. Baguettes are usually pretty good.
Here's the thing, and
dip it in your.
We talked about, you know, just because you want a girl who's good looking and you want to fuck him doesn't mean you want to know anything about him. And then this is one of those individuals. She falls in that category. She's one of the reasons why I can't stand reality TV. She's the douchebaguette. You watch the Jersey Shore. They got the douchebaguettes and the douchebags. And it is literally in these shows, it's who can be the bigger asshole and who can be the bigger bitch. It's just this contest about that.
Yeah.
And it takes away from anything a real actor has worked hard and over their years they've gone to school for. They've trained theatrical. Everything that they put into them, blood, sweat, and tears.
Right.
These douchebags and douchebags that can just get on fucking TV, smile, act like a complete fucking moron.
They're acting like themselves. Therefore, they're not acting. It takes no skill. Back to Kate, real quick. I'll say one last thing about Kate, though. This is a shout out to all the religious types. Having a litter of kids, having 8 children, it's not a fucking miracle. You should be fucking ashamed.
Thank you.
Fuck you. And if she didn't have this god-awful TV show to fucking... She'd be living in the poorhouse on fucking welfare. Yeah.
Yep. And you just give them these people the venue to go out there. And it don't get me wrong. I understand, and this is also what it's done, is they're being themselves, but it is an over-exaggerated version. And I understand that from some of these shows, what they take is a stuff that... I mean, they shoot hours upon hours and days and weeks of footage, and they take what they can out of it to show, and it is an over-exaggerated.
And often the comedy is out of context.
Exactly. But there was a show of kind of like the recap. They had the guy sitting on the couch and, oh, you were blocking me from this, or I was trying to score this chick, or I can do this. You know, to be really honest, I couldn't give a rat's ass whether or not you fuck some chick.
Well, let me tell you what the situation is, Larry.
Yeah, fuck the situation.
I was going to mention this about the situation really quick, too.
Let me end this. This should be the apocalyptic end all of reality TV. Vanilla Ice now has a fucking reality TV show.
Really?
Yeah. If you haven't, do the research. Yeah, it's like some home repair show. He's got a reality TV
show. He's a handyman.
He's a handyman. It's like him being a handyman and stuff like that.
What's an extreme Vanilla Ice makeover?
It's something like that. I forgot the title of it. But if Vanilla Ice can have a fucking reality TV show, I believe that is the seventh seal of the apocalypse.
Yeah. And if I hear...
Fuck 2012.
Not that I'm trying to hear this, but if I hear Mike Sorrentino, the situation, use the words, he's the situation, one more time... When he does that, I just start cracking up because when he says, here's the situation, and he says it all the time, he has to slip it in because it's his little trademark.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Tim Robbins' character in the Hudsucker Proxy. When he's trying to sell the hula hoops and he's getting big and he's famous for the hula hoops and he becomes the president of the company.
Yep.
And he says something in an initial press interview that the press loves and it becomes the headline. I don't understand what all the hoopla is about.
Mm-hmm.
Great phrase. He's on top of the world with that phrase, here's the problem. He says it in the next 5 press interviews, and it doesn't mean shit anymore. Pretty soon hula hoops are going for 10 cents a piece. Hey, same thing, situation. It's over with, buddy. You don't have long left, so enjoy it while you can.
He should have been a bit enjoyed in the first place. No Ice can have a fucking reality TV show. That's it.
Well, I don't know if you remember this from the Warlock films, but Julian Sands, and then what was his name? The good guy that was, Grant.
It's escaping my mind right now.
Sorry, we don't have a team of researchers here giving us our data as we need it, but something Grant, if Brandy was here, she would know. Anyway, he was spilling out the signs that the Warlock is coming, and it was the cream that curdles in the night, the horse that sweats.
Yep.
And then I believe something about the situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think one of them also was ice that had flavoring, a vanilla flavor to it.
Yep.
So anyway, Myron, have you ever heard of Go to My PC?
Have not.
You haven't heard of Go to My PC?
I have. I'm just trying to set you up for an explanation.
Okay, because we just listened to a commercial about it, so I was going to rush you over to the doctor. Go to My PC, folks. You know, long days at the office, no more. Missing the weekends, no more. Missing your favorite program, no more. You got work to do? Do it from home. You can access your office PC from anywhere. While you're traveling, you can access your home PC. All you got to do is go to My PC, set up an account, and bam, you can log in, see your own desktop, work with your own files. It's fantastic. You're no longer stuck in any one location where that information's at. So it's go to mypc.com, check it out.
Good, great segue into the next topic, because I believe when we listened to we're kind of doing a little research for the show, we listened to it, and so I have heard the commercial. Like I said, setting you up for us, you get a good explanation. Adam was talking about how you can watch sports and stuff like that. Great segue into sports right here.
Do we have to talk about sports?
Yes, we have to talk about sports.
Okay,
being in Minnesota, obviously, the color of the Vikings is purple. We decided to call it the Purple Nurple.
That's the segment of the show, the name. What is a Purple Nurple?
A Purple Nurple is when you grab someone's nipple and you fucking twist it. It's called a Purple Nurple.
It's also called a Titty Twister, which was the name of the bar in Dusk Till Dawn.
Dusk Till Dawn, yep, fucking... let's get it out there. We're film buffs, movies, you name it. We've probably seen it.
We're film buffs, filmmakers, yep, film writers. We do all kinds of stuff.
Now we're
attempting radio.
Yep.
I'm attempting to tackle sports talk.
Want to set ourselves up as one trick ponies. We're trying to do a show a little genre, you know, a little diversity here.
I'll preface the Purple Nurple segment of the show by saying I came up with it. I hate sports, but I thought it'd be great if Myron talked sports, and I just said how much I hated everything he was talking about. So that's kind of the thing here. That's what's going on.
I got a great conversation with my brother the other day, and we were talking about it, and I threw this to him because although I'm Minnesota Twins, you know, I'm the sports fans, our home team, I will support him all the time. He hates the fact that I'm a Yankees fan. And he brought up the A-Rod and steroids, and you know, and I used to agree with him about steroids and sports and how, you know, oh, God, this, that. But, you know, if you haven't seen it, it's a steroids movie, a documentary about steroids called A Bigger, Stronger, Faster. Great fucking unbiased, and not necessarily unbiased, because the guy gives a lot of good points and facts and stuff like that. Talks about how his hero growing up with these, you know, professional wrestlers and stuff like that. That's how they got him and his two brothers. They all got into, you know, sports and steroids and, you know, tried to be professional wrestlers. They're all weightlifters. And he tried and he didn't do this, but one of his idols was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And there's a great spot in there where he goes out there and he tried to confront Arnold Schwarzenegger about it. If you haven't seen it.
And is this current footage of Schwarzenegger or way back?
No, it's as a governor when he was running for politics. Okay. I mean, it's probably a 2006, 2007 thing.
Maybe during his run.
Exactly. It was there. And so, I mean, it's a little backdated, but check it out. If you're not into sports, you probably won't. But if anybody else, check it out. And after watching, it did kind of change my perspective on it and how where sports were. There's this whole thing where that's not allowed in certain sports. It is the fucking Olympics have a whole committee based on sports, and a great segment of where it's, you know, they show how there's a big thing in the Olympics. Maybe you don't follow sports. Maybe you've heard about it where Ben Johnson was racing Carl Lewis in the Olympics, and Ben Johnson.
There's a foot race.
It's a foot race.
Yeah.
And Ben Johnson, before he gets to the thing, he raises his hand because he knows he's won. There was a great fucking thing. He had the medal pulled away from him because he tested positive for steroids. Well, they literally pull out in the documentary. They talk to the trainer and stuff like that for the testing of steroids. How Carl Lewis failed steroids test leading up to that.
And still got in.
And how the United States, there's bias about steroids and stuff like that in sports. And
well, the Olympics certainly isn't what it was 4,000 years ago.
Well, no, it's not. It's not naked men wrestling around with each other and stuff like that. And
wow, they were Greek. Of course they were wrestling naked.
Exactly, yep.
I will say this, too. Here's how it breaks down for me. Hate football. I can get into why later. Why I think I hate football. Yeah. There's no telling exactly why I hate football.
If you're going to start off, why? If anybody's hearing this, they might as well know why.
All right. Well, why I think I hate football, it may go way deeper than this. I've never liked that jock mentality, and there's so much of the jock shit around it. I just the jocks to me, I lump in the same category with the situation who we were just talking about. Yeah. Don't like that fucking mentality. B, don't like how that's all there is. The football season reminds me of almost the aftermath of 9/11 in that you can't turn on the TV, open a paper, have a radio show on where they're not talking about fucking football. Yeah. And other sports aren't even like that. I mean, football just is an insanity in this country. And so if you don't like it, you can't get away from it, meaning you don't like it even more because there's no escaping it. That's the second reason. Third reason goes a little bit deeper and earlier is that everyone in my family, my mom, and I would not so much my dad, actually. It was my mom, my lunatic sister. That's for another day. I thought she was a lunatic back then for completely different reasons that I think she's a lunatic today. Both my brothers, football. So every morning, no, noon, football is always on at noon on a Sunday, but I was always still in bed because I roll in about 5-6 in the morning usually. I'm trying to sleep in the basement of my parents' house when I'm a kid, and it's just, woohoo, come on, hey, get on, fucking it, and stomping around and tromping around, and the whole family's up there for lunch, and they're watching football. And, I mean, this didn't end into my teen years. Even when my brothers and sisters, who are all older than me, moved out, they was still back there every Sunday for lunch and watching football. And, man, did it drive me nuts. And I never quite understood football either because I thought, okay, so, you know, on the TV guide, it's a two-hour, what is it, two and a half? What's it look like
in
a TV guide?
It's roughly about a three-hour game. They usually, for game, the first game of the Sunday runs from noon to three, usually three to six. There's the after talk, and now they got Sunday night football, which is basically you got the hours set.
Right, open. And I never got it that 4 minutes left in a football game could mean an hour.
Yeah,
I never understood that. And once I did, then it really pissed me off because this is before DVR. This is before all that shit.
Yeah.
Shows were not going to be on, or shows were going to be late, or I was going to miss something, or the rest of my day was fucked, or something. And that I blame that all on football, all that. So there's many reasons I don't look like football. Baseball, I never thought had that same. It has a different fan base. It has a different fan base, and it's more tolerable to me. I don't watch it or follow it, but if our team is in the series, I'll watch
the
series.
If the Twins go somewhere, you usually kind of...
Hockey, I used to go to hockey games with my brother, and I liked hockey, and hockey is just a fun thing for me. Again, I don't follow it. Haven't really followed it since the North Stars left the state.
Thank you.
But I'd go. If somebody said we'd go to a wild game with me, yeah, I'll go to a wild game with you.
And I'm on the same page with that. I mean, with the way Green walked out of here with the North Stars, it literally left a bad taste. I mean, let's face it. We'd already lost the Minnesota Lakers. They went to L.A., and they've been doing great ever since. I mean, and so there's no way possible I could be a Laker fan.
Right.
But I'm on the same page with
you. And then you touched on the Olympics a little while ago. Could not keep my eyes off of Misty May Trainor and who was the other one? The two Olympic volleyball female stuff was out of the park. I didn't miss a single match.
Right, same.
That was phenomenal. Yeah. And the winter thing, the female curling team.
Well, let's face it.
Granted, it does seem a little.
You got hot chicks in bikinis.
It does seem a little biased, but there was something about the sport too, like. Man, do they move. Yeah. I mean, they don't have a second to catch their breasts.
Exactly. You know, I said breaths,
not breasts.
I heard breasts, but anyway, but that's me and my one-track mind.
I've got a two-track mind.
Exactly. There you go.
But I'm on a Seahawks, so it's all right.
No, I agree. Like I said, we agree. My thing is, and when it comes to football, and okay, if you don't like football, I get that. But when you go back to talking about youth, and you know what? After 11 o'clock, if you're not awake, before that, the world should be respectful to individuals who are sleeping. After that, it's out in the open. You're shit out of luck. If you're sleeping that late in the day, the world is up and going. And
here's the thing. If you're putting a roof on a house, you can't hammer a nail before 9 a.m., I believe, is the ordinance.
And that's fine.
Football should not be before ever. But, I mean, football should definitely not be before I'm awake, which is 2 p.m. Never.
No, well, like I said, keep in mind, for many years, I worked the graveyard shift, so I slept during the days. And I understand that the world doesn't... We live in a 24-hour world right now. I mean, unfortunately, Minneapolis shuts down at fucking 8 in the afternoon. It's a bullshit.
It's 8 in the evening.
What's that?
Eight is in the evening.
Yeah, 8 in the evening, and doesn't start till about, 8:30, 9 o'clock?
You got to admit, though, that the technology behind those sidewalks that actually can roll up, is fucking incredible.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
When they roll up their sidewalks, it's not a joke. They literally roll them up. It's a technological
marvel. Just like the fucking Santa Claus on the lawns. They deflate the buildings and stuff like that. Completely shut everything down. And they you know, they got the big one bag thing, you know, underground in Minneapolis. They got it, which just blows all the buildings up at exactly 9 o'clock.
Oh, they inflate the buildings.
8:55 in the morning, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep, 8:55 in the morning.
I thought somebody was time traveling and fucking shit up. Like, I'd go and there were no buildings. And I swore there was a building there.
No, this isn't Dark City. Kiefer Sutherland is in kind of a doctor running the show behind the scenes.
Right on.
Exactly.
Dark City. Yep. Fantastic.
Great movie. But
football.
But no, it just kind of getting back into things. It did change my perspective, bigger, stronger, faster, about steroids in sports and the bias there about how, in my opinion, if you want to do steroids, so be it. Let them allow steroids. I mean, I equate it to medicinal marijuana. It should be an individual choice. If someone wants to fuck their body up on steroids and shorten their span for what they say, I mean, the medical kind of proof is there. It does have, anytime you take anything in your body, it could have an adverse effect on it. And so be it.
What about the unfair advantage? What about it? How do you counterbalance that? As a team owner, a manager, a coach,
here's the thing.
How do you do it? Because not everyone wants to do that.
But that's where it's a personal choice. It's not an unfair. It's fair because you can choose or not choose to do it.
I don't mean unfair to you. Yes, you can choose to do it. I mean unfair to other players
who choose not to.
This whole team is all and the other team has decided, no, we're going to be healthy.
Everybody's bitching about. I mean, let's face it, there's always been some kind of unfair advantage. I mean, throughout the years, pitchers were taking speed to kind of pep themselves up and do it. They spin on the ball, they grease it up, you know, Vaseline
and all that shit, yeah.
Exactly, the cork and the bats and stuff. There's always been some kind of edge that an athlete is looking for.
All those things have been illegal. All of them.
But let it go. Just let them.
Why let it go? I don't know how to tie this together. I thought I had a thought there, but I didn't.
If it's going to be, this is what I'm talking about when it comes to, they're going to try to do it. Just let it go. The pitchers are doing it too. Don't get me wrong. If Roger Clemens wants to lie and say he did it, my personal opinion is he did. He has. I mean, you look at the site and what they say. One of the ways you can say it is the way the fucking head is blowing up like a balloon. I can be happy to pull him out. I was a sports card collector. I can pull out Mark McGuire's like first, second year card with the A's, Barry Bonds and shit like that. And you can see, I mean, these guys were athletic built. They weren't these monster professional fucking wrestlers where their heads were looking like fucking Pee Wee Herman's when he first started out. You go back to Cheech and Chong movies, he was skinny. And now you Pee Wee Herman, you look at fucking Barry Bonds, where his head was that skinny back in the day. Now it's just this bloated fucking thing that looks like he got stung by 30 bees and had an allergic reaction.
Speaking of baseball cards, whatever happened to baseball cards that really went up in value were rare because there was an actual misprint or something was wrong with the card versus what they do now is purposely put something on there. Like, now this is even going back a while ago, which means they've been doing this for quite some time now.
Don't necessarily.
I remember one. I don't have a lot to say on this, but I remember one specific card. Back in the day, I was working for a chain of drugstores. I think they're still around, but something's changed with the company. Anyway, I worked for Snyder Drugstores. Yep. Back in the day, me and my manager there were pretty tight. I worked there in high school and probably for a couple of years out of high school. And so, yes, I'm dating myself. This is 90 through 92, so 88 through 92 or something. Okay. I worked for the chain. And at one point, my manager, who was a big baseball fan and we were friends, discovered that there was a baseball card that was worth some money. And so what we were doing was we were taking the store inventory, buying them on our own, buying the whole cartons, and opening them as we could afford to buy them. Exactly. And we found a couple of these cards. But they were only worth, you know, the company did this just to get their cards hyped. It wasn't a real misprint or a real authentic thing that made it a rarity. This was marketing. Okay. And this particular misprint was a Cal Ripken. Wasn't there two brothers, Cal Ripken and Billy Ripken, right? Okay. They were baseball player brothers back in the day. I believe Cal's card said "fuck you" on the bat in the photo on the card.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they didn't notice that. I mean, come the fuck on. They knew that. And it was marketing, and they knew that everybody was going to be after that card because that card for a short while was worth a ton of bucks. And they recreated. Is that still going on in sports cards?
Now what they do is now. I mean, because of how popular and big it is, and what you know, classic cards will sell for, and those are the arrows. The arrows aren't so much force now anymore. What they'll do is they will create rare cards. They just won't distribute them. I mean,
which is the same thing.
Well, exactly. They'll put a few out there in, you know, specialty stores. At least this is my perspective. This is, you know, being the conspiracy theorist that I am. This is what I feel they do with sports cards to create that hype. So you actually, that, you know, they put them very out there. That, okay, stores, here's a rare card. We're not printing this. There are a few that we're handing out, and this is the price we want these cards to go for.
Well,
Mark it down, and eventually some guy will buy and auction off on fucking eBay.
And you'll bam, it starts.
You'll have McFarlane, you know, a Spawn fame, go out there and buy this crazy shit because he's a big sports enthusiast. He was after the Barry Bonds home run balls and stuff like that, or I mean Mark McGuire and shit like that.
Right.
So,
in your defense, yeah. I don't. When it comes to corporate America, I don't think anything's a conspiracy theory. I think corporations in America, maybe worldwide, but in America especially, are out of hand, and they will stop at nothing to do whatever it is they have to do, and hence the commercial bullshit world we live in today. It is really, it's a sad world, kids. This is a sad fucking world to grow up in. It's definitely affected, you know, my childhood, but certainly not the way it is now.
Yeah.
Not the way it is now.
Well, I was brought up, you know, my grandfather, and, you know, the teams that I follow, Like I said, I have my loyalty base, but I've got teams that I like outside of there. My grandfather used to take us to the old Met Stadium for Twins games. You know, blast. But he would have my, you know, and he created the rivalry in sports in my family. He would have my brother in a Twins cap and stuff like that, and he'd have me in the Yankees.
Which is fine.
Well, one thing, not necessarily, because here I am, maybe this 4 or 5 year old kid sitting at the fucking Mets Stadium in a Yankees hat at a Twins Yankees game, surrounded by fucking Twins fans. And you're okay, I'm a target. They're looking at this.
Wait a minute, kid. Did you just promote your workplace?
Shut the fuck up. I was referring to the place. But kamikaze that. But no, and it was the same thing for, you know, the Vikings thing there, not for the Vikings, but for sports and stuff like that. For the Dallas Cowboy Pittsburgh Steelers, my brother was wearing the Dallas Cowboy thing. I was wearing my Terry Bradshaw Master of Disaster shirt. He had it made for me. It said Master of Disaster across the back, but it was Terry Bradshaw's number 12. And I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. But like I said again, you know.
So why this? What was his thinking behind this?
Oh, just probably like me, he's an antagonist. I'm guessing that's probably where I got it from him. You know, it was not necessarily hereditary, but it was created in me. You know, I'm the antagonist.
It might have came from those winter heating bills, but that's another story.
We'll go into that another time. We get into psychotic family stories and shit like that. I gotta say, I'm the type, I love a good debate. I love a good argument. I love a good rivalry. I think it's exciting, and that's why I love sports. I think it creates that out there. I think it's great. Where you think it's a pain in the ass, you hate and stuff like that. People, I love yelling at the TV. You almost get the individual where you believe those fucking people can hear you. I love that. But here's the thing: I like to
save the fight for where it's necessary. You just like the fight
in general, exactly. But no, don't get me wrong. The moment the game's off, it's done. Your team loses. You know, a better luck next time. These individuals whose lives are wrapped around it, and I will say this, these losers whose lives feel they depend on the Vikings having to win. They believe Vikings are going to win 16 years, go straight through and not lose a game and win the Super Bowl every fucking year. There's these weebs that just, it's this sport.
Was there a game today?
Yeah.
There was Vikings game?
Yeah,
Vikings. Okay, so I'll tell you what works about Myron for me. Myron is here doing this right now with me. And missing a football game. He's wearing a Vikings shirt.
He's got
some sort of a... Is that a jersey?
No, it's just a t-shirt with the Vikings logo on. This is Vikings at the top. Yeah. Because I am a sports fan. I'm not a sports fanatic. There is a difference
between... Do you want to know something interesting, by the way? This is not a sports note, but it does tie into your team. Okay. This is very interesting to me. This blew me away. So my brother, who is also a huge football fan. In fact, I just found this out, actually, at this Halloween party that we talked about earlier. I brought it up how I hate football, and my sister-in-law brought up hate football too. And I was like, "Oh, I thought you were a huge football fan. Did you and Brent watch football?" She goes, "No, he hid this from me. Had I known, we would have never gotten married. He dropped this football bomb on me about 7 years after we were married." I go, "Really? I thought he's always been a football fan." She goes, "No, not as big.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but that isn't even the story I was going to get into. That's just an interesting side note." So anyway, a few years back, him and my mom, the relatives are all from Norway.
Yep.
So my mom never had gotten a chance to go to Norway. So her and my brother went to Norway in 2004, I believe it was. And they hung out and they stayed with all the relatives and whatever.
Cool.
And they did some touristy things. So they're on a tour and they're visiting one of the the battlefields where Viking tribes came to a meeting, and I don't know all the details on this, it's his story, but essentially it formed what is now known as Norway. They think that this on this spot formed what
it began
what became Norway. Exactly. Right.
That was a birthplace.
That was a birthplace in Norway, and it was the Viking tribes and the warriors, yeah, and stuff like this.
Exactly.
And he said he held up a, you know, Viking war helmet with the horns and stuff on it. And he goes, does anybody know what this is? And my mom chimes in, it's a Vikings helmet.
Yeah.
Being a football fan, she was from Minnesota. Yeah. And he said right out, this guy in Norway who spoke perfectly, you must be from Minnesota in the United States. And she said, well, yeah, how did you know? And he said, because you recognize this helmet and you're obviously an American and whatever. And he goes, I just want to let it be known that nowhere in the history of this country can we find any evidence, proof, or anything that there were ever horns on a Viking helmet. Mm-hmm. Like, there's all kinds of Viking helmets and warrior helmets, but he goes, in our history, there's no instance of there being horns on a helmet. He said that's completely fictional. It was created at some point along the lines. So I thought that was an interesting story.
I got to imagine, probably more of a visual thing. You know,
it looks tough. Exactly. I think about it. Did you and I have this discussion earlier about the Viking helmet with the horns?
No.
I think that the horns on a helmet, if you were in battle, would actually be not to your advantage. I would think there'd be something that your enemy could grab and yank your head down with. Unless somebody fell from the sky on top of you, I don't see the benefit of the horns.
Well, I want to say, I mean, thinking back and stuff like that, you can kind of see it in a couple movies and stuff like that, but I want to say it was more of an Asian influence. I think that may have been where they got it from. Because if you go back to like Attila Hun and stuff like that, you know, they say there's old pictures of helmets with horns on them. And, what is the movie? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, but there was another one out there.
Same series?
It was around that time of genre of films. There were the Asian ones coming out, the really well-done ones. It wasn't one with Jet Li.
It wasn't Jet Li.
It was Iron Mike. It was about the guy and the girl who runs away. She's the thief. It's not Crouching. Yeah, it is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Crouching Tiger is the thief one.
Yeah, because she goes back, she steals the sword. Yeah, and they show her running away and stuff like that. And they show the Huns and the battle in the desert and stuff like that. Yeah, so it is Crouching Tiger.
By the way, the dragon in that film, I want to point out, is very hidden. Because in the course of the entire film, I've never seen it.
One dragon.
Not once. Very hidden.
Well, I believe the dragon's a sword, I believe, is a kind of...
Oh, it's sort of a euphemism for something else.
Yeah.
Well, I spent the whole time actually looking for a dragon.
That's my perspective. The Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, I think it's like kind of like the dragon in us type of thing, but I think the sword, the green jade, the name of the sword is escaping me, but I believe it's like the jade sword, the green jade sword type thing, because the sword had a green hue to it.
And it's the dragon.
That's my
perspective. Well, that's good to know, because I never saw the dragon. I never saw them enter it. I never saw them exit the dragon.
That's my personal perspective on what I get out of that movie.
And the last time I tried to dance around on trees like that, busted my nuts. Busted them right off, yeah.
I just broke a toenail. I was fine.
Right on. You're a better tree dancer than I am.
Tree dancer.
What is that on my window? Okay. Somebody's out the window here, Myron. I don't know who it is. All right. Well, anything more on sports? We can wrap the sports.
No, that was this type of thing. Just kind of want, like I said, bring up the steroids issue, and it's a hot topic. People know it. My perspective is let them fucking do it. But just make it the choice. You know, regulate it if you have to. Just say, okay, there's a certain amount that is allowed. And they're just trying to go after everything. This is illegal. This is illegal. You know what? As an adult, let an adult make the choices. They'll pay the consequences. And, to all the respect, if they go off and pull some fucking Chris Benoit, will you murder your family to kill yourself? It's the same thing. Drivers out there drunk, they fucking do the same thing. It doesn't matter what is out there in life. There's someone that's going to abuse it to the nth degree. It doesn't matter what it is in life. Sugar, whatever. Caffeine.
Coffee.
Exactly, caffeine. The worst.
I've been abusing coffee all day.
Many fucking years. All day.
I'm such
a
junkie.
All my fucking life.
I'm living in the gutter.
I'm a caffeine. Coffee. Yeah, I just sold my fucking TV for it.
For coffee?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, but
did.
We drink the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, when you want the good stuff, you got to sell. It's like a Coke addict. You fucking sell your TV.
We'll get into coffee in a little bit here.
Yep.
So nothing more in sports. You know, I'm happy to say I made it through the sports segment of the show.
I was going to say, it turned out better than you thought, just because, you know what, just because you don't like sports doesn't mean you can't have opinion, your personal thoughts and feelings on it. it's any aspect
of it. Well, I do like some sports, as I pointed out, so we're going to have to avoid talking about those because that just does not make for a good show.
Well, yeah, I think it does. It depends on how you go about doing it.
All right, well, here we go. I wanted to talk a little bit about snow.
No.
If you're not from the area, you know, this is going to make sense to some people, not make sense to anybody others. Hopefully it's interesting whether you are a part of this winter phenomenon or not. I'm sure this is true of other places, but I swear to God, only in Minnesota could it be. I think it was like 65 on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then Friday night, I'm trying to enjoy a cigar and a cocktail out on a patio. Starts to rain. The shit turns to snow. I think it's still snowing out. I think we got like 8 inches of snow. It was 65 the day before that. Now we have 8 inches of snow on the ground.
Yep.
And you know what? And 8 inches of snow, here's what that equals to people living in Minnesota. It equals... Well, for me, this morning, it equaled way before. I've already said I get up noon, 1, yeah. 2. This morning, today, I actually got up before noon, but that's a rarity. Snow on the ground for me this morning equaled...
That's the night side of the apocalypse.
The horse that sweats, the cream that curdles in the night, the situation...
And the vanilla...
Flavored ice cubes. Yep. And what's the other one?
The Tom that wakes up before noon.
The Tom that wakes up before noon. You see they're coming around. There's about 10 more signs. We'll get to those down the road. But there's at least 10 more. I think there's 17 signs.
I'm sure we'll come up with more.
There's 17 signs of the apocalypse, just like there were horns on a Viking helmet. Okay, but we'll figure them out. But snow on the ground for me this morning meant at 9 a.m. Now, I sleep upstairs in my house, so obviously my front door is on ground level where you could actually walk up to it and enter the house. You don't have to jump to the second floor. Okay. So my door is not on the second floor, but my bed is.
You didn't have the levitating person up knocking on an imaginary door up there.
Levitating neighbors is also one of those signs.
Okay.
Anyway, 9 a.m. Who the fuck is that at my door at 9 a.m.? They're either trying to get me to sign some, Greenpeace.
Or some Church of Latter-day Saints.
Here's what I get a lot of. God, have you gotten a lot of this shit? People selling me fucking windows. Hey, I noticed the windows on your house are a few years old. We've got, get the fuck out of here. When I want windows, you better believe me, I will go and find the window person. Okay, I don't need you to tell me my windows are. What kind of a sales pitch starts out with, hey, what's that old piece of shit you got there? You want to buy a new one? That doesn't entice me in any way. Not in any fucking way. But no, it's not the window guy. It's not the sign my petition people. Here's what it is. Nobody. By the time I get down to the door, there's nobody there. I look up the street, down the street. I don't see the cop car anywhere. I don't see anything. Maybe the police are here for me. I don't know. Yeah. Nobody. I don't see anything. So back upstairs, I'm in bed. Mm-hmm. All right, who the fuck is this ghost, right? So I run back downstairs. There's an old lady, a sweet old lady who lives a couple of doors down. And she actually, thank God she's around because she's kind of like the neighborhood watch. She's in charge of the neighborhood. Here's why she's knocking on my door at 9 a.m. And here's what happens when it fucking snows 8 inches here. She says, hey, you guys better get your cars off the street or you're going to end up with a $200 ticket in tow. Two fucking $100? Anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. That's a whole other thing. But she's like, get your cars off the street. So on go some shoes, on go some pants. I didn't feel like going outside. Trudge outside through this shit, move my car around, park it in the driveway. Several cars got tickets. Several cars got snow blown in. And here's what these fuckers and the plows came minutes after I moved my car. So she showed up just in the nick of time to save me $200. More than $200 because I got some other parking tickets I haven't fucking dealt with. Even after my car got towed last, those parking tickets were all taken care of. Now I got several more.
Congratulations.
I never fucking learned my lesson because you can't learn your lesson in this town, these fucking parking tickets. Anyway, so I moved my car. The plows come through. Here's what they do. They plow the street. They plow my fucking recycling bin on its side. Plastic and cans and shit are all over the place. Is it my fault the recycling bin is out there still?
Yeah.
Why?
When is the recycling pickup?
Well, on Wednesday. Do you know why the recycling bin is still there? Because the city fucking recyclers didn't pick it up on Wednesday. They picked every other goddamn recycling bin up on the street. Mine is still out there because they didn't pick it up. Now they come through and plow the shit all over the place. So I'm picking up shit because they didn't fucking pick it up to start with. And they plowed me and the tickets and the... I'm going to take a puff of this cigar here. Go ahead, Mark.
We get into the parking thing all the fucking time. And it's not so bad in Minneapolis as it is in St. Paul, where I mean, there's like, you try to park on any fucking street in downtown St. Paul, and there are like 30 different signs telling you 30 different fucking things. You'll have one sign that says you can park between this post and between this post between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Sundays. Another one says no parking ever.
Loading zone.
Yeah, exactly. The other one will say taxis only, and you don't grasp the concept that it's okay from the curb to here, from here to here. This to this, it's okay to park all day on Thursdays if your car's
literally parked, a clusterfuck of signs.
Bear with you, unless your car's parked upside down and your parking brake is on. If your parking brake is off, you're fucked. They're gonna tow you. It's just
I know they look in the window.
Well, exactly. Fuckers,
I would be cheaper. I'd be better off. It'd be less expensive for me if I hired a fucking translator from the city to ride around with me at all times than it would be to pay the tickets that I get because I don't understand them.
Exactly.
You know and what you're saying is true. Some streets in St. Well, okay. Here's the deal. Minneapolis cops. Versus St. Paul cops. St. Paul cops are usually pretty cool. Minneapolis cops suck. Unless it comes to the parking thing. The St. Paul parking fucking cops are horse shit.
Exactly.
And they just love... And there is no meaning behind fucking parking tickets at all other than revenue. There's nothing more to it. It isn't hurting anyone or affecting a fucking thing. I'm not parking in front of somebody's front door.
Exactly.
I'm not blocking their driveway.
Exactly.
Common sense is what it comes down to. If you have any common sense, you're parking normal. But they won't even let you have fucking common sense in these matters. Here's the one in St. Paul that truly gets me. I got three. Let's see. What the fuck was it? The Republican National Convention was in town, you know, before the in 2007. And so I'm down there because, man, I need to see these fuckers. I need to see what these people are all about. I'm down there every night with my camera, filming shit, interviewing people, talking. And every fucking night of that thing, I swear to God, I got parking tickets. That all came to fruition this past summer when they towed my car away when I was in Los Angeles. Yeah. I got a phone call that said, hey, your car is fucking gone. But I'll get into that in a second.
That's another thing.
Anyway, here's how I got every one of those tickets. Maybe I'm dumb. Maybe. Maybe I'm dumb for falling for it several times in a row, but here's the deal. East-West streets and North-South streets are different. North-South streets, it's no parking Monday, Wednesday, Friday, between 2 and something.
Exactly.
And East-West streets are no parking Tuesday, Thursday between something. And I think it's the thing is something like 2 a.m. to something.
Yeah.
So if you stay in a bar till close, which is 2 a.m. here, by the time you get to your car, it very well could already be ticketed.
Exactly.
Yeah. How about 3 a.m.? And then how about not this Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday? Because it doesn't add up to anything. There's no reason for it other than to confuse and make money.
Exactly.
It's a setup. And here's the problem. It'll say, okay, Tuesday. Say it's Tuesday. Say it's a Tuesday night. It's no parking. 2 a.m. to but 2 a.m. on a Tuesday is not Tuesday night at 2 a.m. because that's Wednesday.
Exactly.
It's Monday night at 2 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah. So... Every day I was on the wrong street every other time thinking I was doing it right.
Exactly. So, I mean, you kind of, if you're out on Monday night having a good time, you're thinking, okay, it's Monday, blah, blah, blah. No, once midnight hits, you're now into the next day.
It's Tuesday.
At 2 a.m., you are fucked.
Yeah. So, I tried to do the right thing every day, and I got fucked every single time.
So, by trying to do the right thing, you're fucking yourself. But you just brought it up. Okay, then that said, if the bars are Monday night, close Tuesday at 2 a.m., okay, then make it 2:30, 3 a.m. Give these people that fucking chance to get your car out of there by that
time. If they wanted to give people that chance, they wouldn't have put these fucking signs up to start with. They're obviously not trying to give anyone a chance.
Well,
they're trying to make money.
Well, yeah, but it is kind of trying to keep a little organization. I get organization because I'm a chaos. Every fucking car is over here cluttered. If you're gonna do it, whatever the reason is, I get a reason.
Taxpayers are paying for the street, and then they're getting charged to park on the fucking street.
Exactly.
Tell me the reason. Why do we put up with this shit?
Because let's face it, and we talked about politics, and it doesn't matter which politician is in the office. It is a control issue. It's how can you keep the lackeys and the minions and the masses in order? I mean. How can you keep them under your thumb? And you do it by coming up with these inane laws, these inane rules that have been around for far too fucking long. So many laws that are not enforced on the books, but if they so choose to hold them against you, they can.
Absolutely.
It's bullshit, and it's to fuck with one, and I think it's because it wasn't intentionally made that way, but it's become an opportunity to fuck with people.
It is. It's all it is, and I'd love to know where all of that parking money goes.
Because Shoot-A-Ball, Shoot-A-Spot doesn't go into the streets.
I digress. We're going to move on to a portion of the show. No, we're not going to move on to that. What am I talking about? I'm talking about my ass. You know why I'm talking about my ass? Because this is new to us. We're just figuring this shit out.
Okay.
Here it is. I wanted to talk a little bit about pipes, coffee.
Okay.
Smoking. Me and Myron, we're both cigar smokers. We're both smoking a cigar right now, as a matter of fact.
Correct.
These are not sponsors to the show, but Myron, go ahead and tell people what you're smoking and why.
I chose this one today out of the humidor. It is the Rocky Patel. You know, I'm a fan of him. Decades. Main reason I chose this one, obviously, my script. We've kind of pimped it out, pimp our material. You know, we're One Trick Ponies, we're doing this, and other things. I wrote a script called Decades, based off of George Romero's Night of the Living Dead.
It's called Decades of the Dead.
Exactly. DOD, Decades of the Dead. We got our own little acronyms and shit like that for it. Since everybody else in life, everything's an acronym now. DOD, Decades of the Dead. And it's based upon George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, as if the Night of the Living Dead was the catalyst. It was the start of it. And it's based upon 50, 60 years of zombies and how we've dealt with them over this time. I'm not going to give the script away. Hopefully, we can get it sold. It's a Rocky Patel Decades. And it's a phenomenal. It's smooth. It's good. I've liked it, and I bought it originally for that reason, but it is actually a good cigar. You're a little more in-depth on yours.
I'm smoking what's called a Nick's Sticks. It's N-I-C-K apostrophe S, Sticks meaning cigars. Nick and Nick Sticks is Nick Perdomo. He's part of the family, the Perdomo cigar line. They're good cigars. This Nick's Stick, it's okay. I mean, it's an above-average cigar. I do like some of the Nick's Sticks. Not a fan of this one. This is the first time I've tried this lighter one. Normally, more into a richer, full-bodied cigar.
You like
this
more spicy taste into them?
Not spice, but richness.
Yeah.
Spicy cigars and rich cigars, I think, are different.
Are you referring to more full-bodied?
Full-bodied cigars. Okay. Ones that won't kill me. But the Nick's Stick, it's all right. It's a good product. The reason I'm smoking a Nick's Stick, though, is... the tobacco shop I go to here in St. Paul, again, not plugging because they haven't given us anything for this. The Golden Leaf, great tobacco group. They have two stores, one in Minneapolis, one they opened in St. Paul a couple years ago. Phenomenal, very knowledgeable, good humidor. They've started realizing that the price point for their customers and the location they're at in St. Paul is, like $6 or $7. So they're really stocking the humidor with good cigars that come in a $7 price range. And there do seem to be quite a few cigars that are hitting that now.
Okay.
One cigar that never really hit that price point in the past that would fall more in the $10, $11, $12 category were the Perdomo cigars.
Correct.
They're selling a lot of Perdomos. Like most of their line now is $6, $7. There's a great reason for it. Here is what Perdomo is doing. And by the way, taxes on tobacco in this state are horrendous. You could buy a $15 cigar in the state. That same cigar would cost you $9 in Chicago, for instance.
Yeah.
So, and that's all taxes is what that is. So the tobacco tax here is nuts. But what Perdomo is doing to keep these cigars cheap is the company is eating that tax. The company is paying the tobacco tax themselves and passing on the low prices to everyone else. So right now... I'm smoking a $10 cigar for $6.
Yep.
And it's fantastic. And there's a whole bunch of good cigars in that price range.
Seriously, you got to give a fucking serious shout out to a company who's willing to take it on and do it.
Yeah.
Because
it's a smart move.
Well, it's fucking great. It's a great marketing ploy. But two, when you know that people out there want to do something and people out there trying to save the fucking world by just... Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. You can't. It's bad for your health. You know what? I'm going to be 40 next fucking June. You know what? I can allow me to do what the fuck I want. If I choose to do it, I choose to smoke a cigar. Leave me the fuck alone.
Oh, I will
fuck
agree.
Off.
I will agree. I will agree. In fact, and that applies to restaurants and stuff too. Look, government, get your fucking ass out of it. Look, I understand that the employees and most of these no smoking in restaurants laws are there because of quote unquote the employees. The employees have to be around it all the time. Well, you know what? They chose to work that job. I was just going to say, and some people do need that sort of a job to make a living.
Yeah.
They can make good money as servers. They're going through college. They're supporting their kids, whatever. And serving is what they can do.
Yeah.
Great. And should they be forced to be in smoking environments? No, they shouldn't. So why not every place can have a room where you can smoke and dine or smoke and drink, or at least fucking bars. If you're going to get it rented in restaurants, fine, because I've never particularly needed to have a cigar or a cigarette while I've been eating. But when you're drinking,
and you're
a smoke-filled bar, come on. I mean, come on. At least a room where I can get something. And maybe the employees that serve drinks in that room get a little bump. There's a hazard pay. They realize they're going to be smoking. Fine. I get it.
Here's my point of view. And this is where we kind of differ on, because it's not so much different, but it's a kind of a little addition onto that. You know, if a place wants to be smoke-free, if an owner doesn't want it there, fine. So be it.
The owner.
Exactly.
I'm with you.
If you want to have an establishment like that, fucking let it go. And here's where the big... Because this will be the end-all to the smoking debate of whether or not it should be allowed in bars and stuff like that. Let me put it to you. In restaurants, I get it. If you're enjoying a meal, you're sitting down, fine. You're eating, you're trying to enjoy yourself, you're out with your kids. I'm a firm believer, okay, regardless of whether it's right or wrong, 18 happens to be the legal smoking age.
But what if there was a room, even at restaurants? What if there was all rooms?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Restaurants, if they have a bar attached, go in there. If a place wants to do it, let them fucking do it. If a bar wants to, let them do it. The employees who don't want to work in a smoking bar can go to a place where it's not smoking. Because this will tell you right here, if people start going, you will find out how large of a population is smoking and where the serious business is if they're in the bars having a great time for smoking or they're in a place where they're not smoking. And I'm going to give you an example. There was a
rest assured, though, that the government's never going to allow that to be fucking seen.
No, they won't. There was a bar. I'm not going to give the name of it, but there was a bar right across the street from the fucking Metrodome. A good friend of mine, Tom, who moved to Wisconsin, stuff like that, he used to come back. He was going to Twins games. And we were there. There were no kids. It was just adults having a great time, talking sports, smoking. We had a cigar. We were talking with people.
I wouldn't have had a great time. Too much sports.
Exactly. But we went there the next year. It was family. It was this. It was this. It was all nice and sweet. Not a lot of people were talking and this. There was no mingling amongst other people. There was no personality in the place. It was just like every other restaurant you could go to. You could have a person that you had never met in your life, could be sitting across the stadium in there, and you guys were enjoying to talk about the win or enjoying to talk about the losses. You were mingling, you were meeting people. No one was here fucking meeting people. It was a bar before. Now it's people taking their kids or having appetizers after the game and going home.
And they're not making money.
Well, no, they're probably making money.
They're not making money like they were making.
Well, no, you brought
in... You don't make as much money off of food as you do off of booze, well, period.
You may not be making more money, but you brought in a larger type of crowd. You're opening your fan base is what you're doing. You're opening up to more people to come in. Those who don't come in for drinks are going to come in and sit down and have this because their kids are with them, and it's close, it's proximity, you're going to stay after the game, maybe want to avoid traffic. You're bringing in a different base. You may be losing a little money, but you're opening things up.
Vegas finally figured out. The same thing you're talking about, Vegas just fucking figured out, which is, hey, this theme park bullshit we've been doing for the last 15, 20 years is not as much money as hookers, strippers, and fucking booze.
Yeah.
It's not. So, bam, we're back to the adults, even though Vegas now does not allow you to smoke in restaurants. I don't know how the fuck they got away with that.
A perfect example of this, and of this, the way I kind of brought up earlier about these save the world motherfuckers, is these people. It's coming up next Thursday, this national smoke out where, you know, everybody's supposed to not smoke. I had a supervisor come up to me. She's the individual who kind of sets up the outside work facilities and, you know, the stuff like that. You know, okay, well, we're going to have a little gathering outside of work. We're going to have a walk for breast cancer, which is great. But she brought up and she goes around. She asks people this. I say, you know, no, I got to work and stuff like that. She came to me and says, well, can I, you know, you went to this. Can I count you in for National Smoke? I have to come over and sit down and not smoke and blah, blah, blah. I said, no, not on this one. She goes, Well, why not? You're not working. I looked at the schedule. You guys have. I said, because I like cigars. I don't agree with the non-smoking thing. I said, and because of that, I did not know that was it. I will light up a cigar for this. She goes, oh, you're one of those people. I said, yes, I am. And you're one of those people. You feel you got to save the world.
Keep your nose out of my business. Exactly. This is the bottom line.
She kind of continued. I said, you know what? You just got me.
Back to what she wanted you to do. What did she want you to say? Say you were to partake in this day. What were you going to do? Go sit? What do you mean go sit somewhere
and
not smoke?
It's just this little gathering of everybody to support the non-smoking thing.
Can you masturbate? I mean, could you unzip and just jerk off? And
as long as, you're as, long as I could jerk off, with, you know, she's attractive. As long as I could jerk off, to, you know, she gave me a picture for jerk off, and I could have a flask at least. Maybe I could have a, you know, a little.
So everybody's going to get drunk and jerk off, but not
I
smoke.
I think that'd be great.
Well, that wouldn't be that bad. I could not, put away the cigar for 2 hours for that.
But she pushed on it and said, you know what? Just for that, you got me. I'm going to smoke 2 cigars. I'm going to light up 2 cigars on Nash.
Did her head explode?
She just turned and walked away.
Well, you do know how to get rid of your managers. You've talked about that
yes,
clearly
I do.
Many times.
Yes,
all you really got to do is say everything they don't want to hear, and then they don't bother you anymore.
Well, bug them, irritate them, just not too much that they hate. I think this did enough that she now probably hates me.
Well, back to Vegas briefly, because I do have a good time for Vegas. So this, I'm a kid, right? I'm 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. And my family used to road trip all the time or we never flew. We never flew. Everywhere we went on a trip as a kid was a road trip, which was a great experience. Yeah. It's a whole different thing, and it's awesome. So anyway, a couple different times we road tripped to Vegas way before I was old enough to be in Vegas. But there were some things even back then. This was before amusement park at Vegas. But you could do things as a kid there. There was Circus. The upstairs was fun and everything. Yeah. And that, by the way, is almost gone. If there was any money in Vegas right now, they were going to tear it down this year. But they couldn't afford to do it. They didn't have any money to put up anything in its place. Okay. So Circus is there on hold. Anyway, so I remember driving around Vegas with my parents as a kid, and we're looking for the next casino my mom wanted to go to, and she was never a huge gambler, but it was slot machines and a cigarette and whatever. And we're looking for a place that
and
wasn't
doing what they wanted.
And we're looking for a place that wasn't just out of hand with people. We're looking for a place that was a little bit lower key that, you know, you didn't have to fight to get it. So anyway, we're driving along and we see this parking lot of this big ass casino. There were hardly any cars. As we're driving toward the building, we look up on the marquee and it says 100% smoke free. Well, there was nobody in that parking lot, and that is why my mom said, we're not going to this one, and we left.
Now,
the difference there is that was a choice. That owner chose to do no smoking, and it failed. I guarantee they were smoking in there within a couple of weeks.
To be honest, I would hope so, especially when you're talking about the whole idea Vegas was founded on, where it was that oasis that people could go to cut loose.
Okay. In wrapping up, we got one little segment we like to call The Shocker. You can take that to mean whatever you want it to mean. The Shocker is a segment where either Myron or myself or both of us have a story that they're going to bring up that, for whatever reason, the other one is unaware of it. So it's a surprise story
to
the other
one. It's kind of more of a surprise topic, you know, something where you kind of don't expect what's coming at you, and we got to kind of discuss something.
So it's a surprise topic, not a surprise story.
Exactly.
See, even that part was a surprise to me.
There's a shocker right there.
That's how much this
is
a surprise. So I was not aware. Anyway, so this is Myron's idea. So Myron's got the story today. I had no prep time to come up with anything shocking whatsoever. So Myron, shock me.
Shock me. Now, my topic, it's one we've talked about before, and you know I'm not big on it. You are, you like to use it, you're big on it. Facebook and the people who are using this. My problem with it is these people, and I'm related to a few, so, you know, and one is my sister, so I'm nailing my own family right off the bat.
You always have.
Yes, I have. I love my sister, but stop doing this. You don't need to put your fucking every goddamn kid's, oh, my kid took their first poop. Or, you know what, my kid's doing this. He's like Asperger's, which is like, I like the worst form of autism you can actually have. It's a tough thing to go through, and your kids, it makes your kids more important to you when they're going through a serious issue. That's fine. He's my nephew. I love him. Thing was like kind of antisocial, you know, he has trouble communicating and stuff like that. But when it comes to computers, the kid's a whiz. He can break through your password. And this is back when he was like 7, 8 years old. She went on there and friends of him. And she gets out there about 2 days later.
Wait a minute. She made a friend account for him?
Well, she
did. Like he has his own?
Well, you click on the thing and, you know, you sign up as a friend of him.
Okay.
I didn't do it, so I don't know. Leave your kids out of shit. You know what? Your kids are important to you. It's not that your kids aren't important to everybody else, but this is one of those things that's important to you, not the world. 4 people or 5 people, a handful of people had actually gone on to become friends of Mikey. She got on there like 4 or 5 days later. I'm kind of disappointed. Come on, people. Where are the friends of Mikey? Go there. Show Mikey your support.
Oh, they understand more than you do.
You know what? He's my nephew. I love him, but I'm not going to sign on to be a friend of Mikey.
Well, how is that supporting Mikey? It doesn't support Mikey.
But that's why it's these people. And I've got a theory. This is I came up with this. because, you know what, I've met my sister-in-law, we talk on the phone, but she's one of those individuals who gets on Facebook. I'm bored. I went out. I went grocery shopping. You know what? I clipped my nails.
Oh, I was just going to get into that.
And I found out what it is. We have become...
It's reality TV.
No. We have become our own paparazzi.
Yeah.
We are now reporting... We are our own
paparazzi. We're reporting on ourselves.
Paparazzi.
We're our own paparazzi. And the other thing we are is we're such a lifeless, bored, sort of meaningless culture that we say shit like that and we think... I don't know what these people are thinking. Do they think that Fox TV is going to see, oh my God, Gretchen took a poop today.
TMZ is right there.
Yeah, I'm going to be on TV. What do they think? This is
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a douchebag. No, you don't like Facebook. I do like Facebook, but you know what?
I'm the grumpy
old man on Facebook because. And it goes deeper than people just saying dumb shit like, I took a shower and I went to the gas station.
Yeah.
That's almost too dumb to respond to.
Yeah.
What I go off on is people that just don't fucking think. And some of these are friends of mine, and some of them no longer want to be my friend on Facebook because of this. But you say dumbest stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, it is one thing. Everybody sometimes sticks their foot in their mouth and blurts out something that, oh God, why did I say that? But you're typing it. You have time to hit delete. You can erase words, and you still put that on there? It's beyond me. So, yeah, a lot of people are pissed at me on Facebook. And, you know, maybe it's not a great time to be pissed at me on Facebook because I am running a fundraiser for a film project. If this makes it to the air in any format, Myron mentioned his film in conjunction with a cigar. I was going to mention mine in conjunction with a pipe, but actually I'm going to mention it in conjunction with this. I got a film right now that I'm creating. Myron's actually a big part of working on that with me. And it's about a blues legend to the Twin Cities area named Cornbread Harris. This man was an early teacher to Prince and Jimmy Jam, Morris Day, all these guys. He is Jimmy Jam's father, actually. And
he created the Minneapolis Sound.
He created the Minneapolis Sound.
Prince named an album Minneapolis Sound. So, I mean,
there you go. So this guy is a master blues pianist and vocalist, and he's 83 years old, and he's still doing it and just rocking out, and he's a great guy. I've become a friend with him. We've been on this project for a little over a year. And it's called Man, Blues, and God, The Life of Cornbread Harris. So it's a feature-length documentary film on this fantastic guy's life. And I don't know how I tied that into this topic.
Well, because you have the links.
I am simultaneously trying to raise funds on Facebook and making everyone hate me, and that is why I brought it up. So back to Facebook. Yeah, I like it because it's a great way to see bands that I'm into.
Exactly.
They advertise, and bam, their stuff's right there in my face, so I know when they're playing. Friends, you know, parties, things like that. I mean, yes, they could call, but this is just a really easy way to get everyone to know it. I've used it. There's people on there. They've got the live chat thing, so I can chat with people who are that I wouldn't even have maybe thought of calling that day. But, there they are. Say hi to, whoever. So I do like it, and there's plenty of great uses for it, even though it's been kind of engineered like a piece of shit. It reacts like a piece of shit. Half the time it doesn't work. The posts and the responses in there are in no particular order, which drives me absolutely bonkers. Messages sometimes aren't sent. Sometimes the chat thing tells me that's inappropriate comment, even if there was nothing inappropriate said, and it won't send my message. It's like, so the Facebook police are on me sometimes. I don't know why. So I have plenty of reasons I don't like Facebook, but overall I like it, whereas you...
I get the community aspect because, I go on there, and, like I said, my sister lives halfway across the United States. I'm in the middle. She's on the coast, the East Coast. It's good. We can kind of send a few quips. Basically what it is, Facebook, it's just really no different than if you're logged on to your instant messengers. It's the exact same thing. Basically, you sent them an email, and you can live chat right there. It's basically the same thing. They just kind of hooked it up into a nice little fashionable. That's what it is. It's texting. It's emailing and instant messaging right there. But I get the community aspect. That's great. I use it for the community aspect. But it's just these individuals, they feel that they have to be fucking out there. And it gives them this sense of self-importance that they're not getting in their real life.
Yeah, they have no life. Right on. Anything more on Facebook, Byron?
Just something to go on. If there's something more you have to say about it.
I don't really have too much more to say about it. I'm thinking after the fact, though, that this whole category, this segment of the show shouldn't be called Shocker because there was nothing too shocking there.
Well, it's not. It's just more the shocking of, okay, you know what? You don't know it's getting... Maybe who knows? It's the first time.
Call it Surprise Me or Tickle Me the Wrong Way. Or
I kind of like Shocker because of the sexual innuendo.
Let's just call this segment of the show Inappropriate Touch.
Well, that could go into the your friend dressed up as a Catholic priest on Halloween.
All right. Well, that wraps up this inaugural pitch episode of Empty Minds. I'm Tom.
I'm Myron.
And until next time.
Peace. Ow, my head.